So we are going to talk about the Fable. You know, this Fable, this compiler from F# to JavaScript. It just takes your F# code and then turns into JavaScript.
Perfect. So let me ask you this. So several years ago, I know, like, obviously I know JavaScript and it's been around for a while now. So we have many different compilers in the past to take, JavaScript and do something with it. So why another compiler for JavaScript?
Yeah, that's true. It's true that there used to be like a CoffeeScript and these many compilers, but now the JavaScript is evolving very quickly, and also we have TypeScript. You are just missing static types. But the thing is that I think it's still valuable to compile F# to JavaScript because, as we've been talking this conference, F# is a succinct, robust, and performant language, and these are properties that are valuable anywhere. And by the way, this change of focus from functional, it's a big change for the F# community, because especially for non-native speakers, because now we need to learn how to pronounce section in English, which is not that easy. But yeah, there's also obviously there's if you want to make a full stack application in F#, you need to be able to compile to JavaScript. And it's not you can do that now in JavaScript using a Node.js server, but if you want to use a .NET server, you need to be able to compile a .NET language to JavaScript. And also with Fable, you can use these APIs, like .NET APIs, not all of them, but some of the most important ones, and also F# Core, which can boost your productivity too, because you don't have to learn different paradigms or use different code patterns depending on whether you are programming for the backend or the frontend. And actually, let me show you, because
Yeah, let's
there's
show
a
that.
I think I'm gonna share my screen.
As soon
Okay,
as you
do you
bring it
have it?
in, yeah, as soon
Sorry.
as you bring
Okay,
it,
sorry.
I'll share it. It's all good.
Okay, we have it. You have
Hey,
it?
there it is. One second. Go ahead and show your code. There you go. I'm gonna bring it in.
Okay. Can you see the web page, the fable.io? Okay, this is the fable.io. I want to talk to you about just show you very quickly about the Safe Stack, which is an initiative by Isaac and others to make it easier to create this kind of full stack F# web apps. And I think Isaac has already talked about this. So you can take this Safe Stack, just Google it, it's very easily, and you get a lot of recipes here to how to be able to program F# both for backend server and also for the front end. And something very interesting that I think not other compiled to JavaScript compilers have is that F# can Fable can also support some reflection. Not the whole reflection in .NET, but some reflection, and this has enabled some interesting tools from the community. One of the most interesting ones is this Fable Remoting by Zaid Ajak, and this one allows you to using the, for example, this Safe Stack or Swap or Giraffe or Stratum server, you can just declare an F# record, and this will automatically build an HTTP API. Based on this record, and this will be a type safe API. And also we have this thought JSON by Maxim. This also a JSON serializer and deserializer. It follows the it's composable, which is very interesting. But if you don't want to write everything by hand using reflection, it's also possible to create automatic decoders, directly with just one line. And the important thing about this is that these decoders are going to validate your JSON. It's not like you are doing, for example, from JavaScript that or TypeScript that you just use JSON parse and you get something, but you don't know exactly if this what you were expecting or not. So, And the next thing is that actually quite surprisingly, because I guess that Don and other F# designers, they weren't thinking about it at the beginning, but it happens that F# is a really good language to declare UIs in the same way as React does, for example. And we have a very good example here in Feliz, this API to declare UIs also by Zaid. And
it's very happy, I can tell, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think he was. I think this was homage to Spanish in Spanish Love region it. Of Fable. But yeah, it's super nice, and it's a way to declare to use React to create web applications in F Sharp. And there are other ways to do Fable apps, but this is one of the most common used ones. So it's super nice, not only because of the clean syntax in F Sharp that you can see here, that you don't need so many brackets. There have been some attempts to do this something similar in C Sharp, but you get a lot of brackets and it's not as easy to read. But not only this, it's also that. So if we go here to the syntax, you just need to Google for Felid Zaid. Maybe you see a happy Zaid, but probably you'll get to this page. And and this the thing is that because F# also it's supports overloading, you can just so for example you see here we have the same helper div, but if you just pass an string, this will be the same that you don't need to do. Everything to just you don't need to have the full parent element properties and attributes.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
You can just so this is just like a shortcut. Okay,
right.
So yeah, just by writing div, you can passing what you are expecting to have there. The compiler will type check, will use the appropriate overload, and everything is also type safe. Okay.
Very nice. Very nice.
And this is also a great tool created here, HTML2 Feliz. So you can see some examples in HTML. So you can see HTML and how it looks in F# using this Feliz API. And actually, as you can see, it's really really clean. It's not as compact as in HTML, but it's still quite easy to read.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, so maybe okay, we have the and there's also an something very interesting I want to show you, which is this project by Jordan Marr, which is called fable.groupingpanel, and this one is also using yet another feature from F#, which is the computation expressions. So, for people who know about computation expressions, this was originally the mechanism used for F# to use async programming. So it's something async await in C#. But it's so flexible that you can use it for multiple purposes. And in this case, it's being used to generate UIs. And it's a really interesting use case. So as you can see here, this grouping panel by Jordan Marr. Also from Maxime, we have this Fable form, which is a way to the same way we saw this ThoughtJSON decoders that we could compose. So here you'll see that there's a possibility of combining your forms. So maybe you want to see?
Yeah, I was gonna say I would love to see it all work in action. Can we get a demo?
No, sorry, I didn't prepare. No, yeah, for sure.
That's great.
I have something for you. Okay, so now we are going to go to where the real stuff is. So here's we are in Visual Studio Code. So we are going to start this little break, and it's starting. I think it will take like 5 minutes. So. Okay. We can talk about something else and maybe have a coffee.
Well, the thing I found interesting was with the Fable forms was how it, you know, in JavaScript and you're doing HTML.
Oh, no, sorry. It's already finished. Sorry.
Oh,
that
was fast.
It's too fast. It's always, I hate that. It's because I'm always expecting to have a break, but it's too fast. Sorry. But I just interrupted you.
No, it's all good. Please. If people care more about the demo than me talking, go ahead.
No. It was just a joke. Sorry. So we have here because we have this very interesting thing that is forms to sign up. That probably is not the most interesting thing in this planet, but it's the thing that we have to do all the time. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have forms here. I'm just using this I think it's pronounced Vitma. It's a tool it's a new bundler to create a development server in JavaScript. So the nice thing, make it public. So just check this and check this, and I'm saving the code. This is going to change automatically. Okay. Oops. .com. I cannot type. Sorry. And I was going to say that this is going to save the state, but as usual, it's not happening in the demo, right? Because I was just trying 5 minutes ago, and it was working. But yeah, in the demo, it doesn't work.
because you're doing it live in front of everybody. That's
yes,
how it
yes,
goes.
Yes. Anyways, sorry, but yeah, it's actually this React component. I cannot go into the details about React now, but this React component happening here. And this is super nice. This API created by Maxime, because you can just compose your form. So as you can see here, I'm composing my form using an email field, a name field, and a password field, and also this repeat password field. Right. So I can just okay, see, so for example, I just if I don't want to have the repeat password field, I can just change the composition. But the nice thing is that as you've seen, that this is going to fail compilation, this is going to fail type checking if we modify things, because we are, so if you have a close look to this on summit function, this is going to take the validated fields, so the email, the name, mm-hmm. the password, make public, and so only when everything is valid, we are going to be able to use the sign up button. So you see here, I can write something like my email.
I will say I've written JavaScript to do that, and it is not as clean as this.
No. This is super nice. I actually, it was released recently, but yeah, when everything is good to go, yeah.
Wow.
We can put that and yeah, it's quite simple. But I invite everybody to have a look, and yeah, I will share this later. But as you can see, the code is really is very very clean. We can also have a look at this dynamic form. This dynamic form is is just using is just using a select function here.
Wow.
That depending on the function. So you see here, this is my view function. So I'm just generating the form. And in this form, we are creating the select field here.
Right.
And this is going to, depending on whether I'm choosing a student or teacher, this is going to show one form or the other. Okay, in this case, it's a simple example. They look very similar, mm-hmm. but the thing is that there will be you can do some more complex forms with this, and yeah, everything is also type safe, because I'm using this user type here, which is a student or teacher, mm-hmm. and then I can pattern branch on this to select the form that I'm going to show next. Okay, and this is something actually I just wrote it yesterday, because I'm using reflection here as well to create so if I'm going to add a new field, first I'm going to get some warnings from F#, which is super nice, because the compiler will tell me in which places I'm forgetting to
I was going to say, you have a pop-up.
Yes. Actually, you can make it an error as well if you want.
Oh, gotcha.
To.
Wow.
But you can see here that I'm automatically I'm adding this
very nice.
This assistant here, and this is this is using reflection also to generate the select. This is not in the Fable form library, because Maxime doesn't like reflection, So yeah, my mission in this life is just adding reflection to the libraries created by Maxime. So yeah, just to finish, I wanted to show, because the other thing that we are doing all the time in web applications is just taking data from a server and displaying it. And so I was thinking of using this Pedestore public API, but I need to write the code for that. So we still have 1 hour, right, for the presentation. No?
No, we do not, unfortunately.
Okay, so let me cheat, because I'm going to use this another project by Zaid, which is called Hawaii. I it's a bit disappointing, because if I type Zaid Hawaii, I was expecting to see some pictures of Zaid in Hawaii, but I'm getting this this project, which is also cool, and I have it installed. So if you have a schema like this. A schema is just something very, very simple. Right. It's just telling the tool that we should be using this schema. And then we have this .NET tool. I type in Hawaii. We're going to see here. This is going to generate. Okay.
Oh,
so
wow.
Now we have a project here, okay? A full project. Mm-hmm. This tool is generating to interact and now we can just call this,
right?
So this is what we are going to do, because I'm going to add a reference. File here.
Very nice.
No. Okay, so now we have this. Let me check if this is compiling. So yeah, basically this we are going to use a very simple structure to show the a list of items, and then we are able to filter them and also sort them.
Gotcha.
So we can see it here. Okay, so we have the
beds
here that we got from the API.
Yeah.
So we are getting them from this API here. I can show you the network tab, but take my word, because we need to finish this quickly. So this not super exciting, so just a list of items here. So let's make something a bit nicer, which is a table. Okay. Now we have this table here. And now we have these things. And let's say that we want to be able to sort this. So we can take our header, model, dispatch, this name. Now we can sort.
Very nice.
By name. And then we can do the same with
category. Wow.
And if we want to have I will post the link later, but this is very simple. There's a couple of types here. There's this is making the comparison here for a sorting, and then this filter, we can have this filter here. So let's also activate the filter. We can say have this Fox, cats, and surprisingly, there's even lions in the as pets in this which is quite interesting. So yeah, that's it. That's the demo I want to show you.
Perfect. So let me ask you this. So which I think might be a really important question. If Maximin said did all of these tools, then why are you doing the talk?
I know, right? I know. I just wrote the boring part. I just wrote the compiler, and so I should be talking with Don Simon about the important stuff like stacking monads on top of end of functors or things like this. But yeah. Anyways,
that's great. That's great. So I was gonna say, so why would you pick F Sharp with Fable over TypeScript? I'm just, I'm a web developer, so I'm just trying, just wondering why would you do it that way.
So yeah, it's for the reasons that we've seen, but it's not maybe not all the time. Not all the time. Maybe it's Fable the best fit because, for example, if you need to interop a lot with JavaScript, we have ways. So if you go to Fable documentation, you can have here the CalJS from Fable. We have some things here. We have this tool as well, which is used to generate. For example, here Monaco. Let's see. This can generate, as you probably know, that in TypeScript you have these TypeScript definitions to be able to use JavaScript libraries in a type-safe way. So we can use this tool to translate this into F-sharp in a way that Fable can understand this. And we can use this, but it's difficult to match the capability of TypeScript. So if you really want to interact with many JavaScript tool, libraries, so maybe TypeScript is the way to go.
Gotcha. So I have a question. Actually, the biggest question I have, since we're almost out of time here, we have about 3 minutes left. I was going to say, what is next for Fable? What are you guys working on to make it great?
So yeah, if we say next for Fable, it's also next for. So if we want to talk about what's next for Fable, it's the same as what's next for F Sharp beyond JavaScript, beyond .NET, but also beyond JavaScript, because we are working, some other contributors are working in expanding Fable to other target languages. So we have, thanks to Jeremy Shashan and Dak Bradley, the next version of Fable is going to be able to compile to PHP and also to Python. So this work in the progress at the moment, but yeah, we'll be able very soon too.
And who's working on the Python part?
Dak Bradley.
Look at that. Oh, what? My.
It's here.
We need to say the name three times and he just appears out of anywhere. Hey, Dak, thanks so much for coming to the presentation.
Hi, nice to be here.
So you want to show us a little bit of the work you've been doing?
Yes, let me share my screen.
Great, thank you so much. And
so we just have a few minutes. But
yeah, we do, perfect.
Let's go through this. I have this slide here, F-sharp loves Python. And I'm a software developer at Cognite. And the thing is, can Python do anything that F-sharp can do? And we will see about that. We have this code in progress, almost 500 unit tests of 2,000 working. Why are we doing this? There's a lot of fun stuff to do. Perhaps run SafeStack with Flask web server, and let's do some demo. So I have here an F-sharp program, and I have split it in three windows. So this is a JavaScript file. This is a Python file. We can save this. And we see immediately that it compiles to the JavaScript. We can see what it looks like in Python. And perhaps we could say that main equals like this. And we can see how it how it transforms the program into to the equivalent JavaScript and Python. So I've also prepared a little other demo, which is actually a Jupyter notebook running on a Python kernel. So this is just a POC. I'll run it in presentation mode so we can see it better. How does that look for you? Yeah, that's fine.
Perfect. Wow.
Let's run the code. I'm importing the Cognite Python SDK. So I'm making some stub types here. So you can see that there's an import line here. Mm-hmm. And running that. And then I need to use an API key and I don't want to expose it. So I'm importing the get environment function from Python, from the OS module.
Nice.
Let me see if that runs. Yes. Oh, sorry. That was a bit too quick. We can now make the client and try some to see. And we actually got the data points or the time series imported over the net. We can go straight to see if we can do some plotting here. Oh, yes. Sorry, we need to do the, yeah, this one. Need to retrieve the time series. Let's see if we got it. Yes, and now we can try that plot again and see what happens. Yes, we have. So this is a POC that we can actually run Python, transpile F-sharp code into a Python kernel in Jupyter. So there's a lot of work to be done, but I think it looks promising. That concludes my demo.
I love that. We transpile Python into an F-sharp Jupyter. It's just that those words are just awesome. That's great. Well, I was going to say, gentlemen, we're right on time. And thank you so much for taking the time to do this presentation. We're going to take all the content and all the stuff and post it out on our GitHub page for everybody to have. So they will, Alfonso and Dag will give me all this information and will be available for you to check out. So thank you so much for taking the time to present at .NET Conf.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.